This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. And apologies. That's a little louder than I meant to be.
I didn't know if you brought extra juice because it's the Footy Awards and you were just hyped, but I was...
Can I be sued if people careen off of the road?
No.
Or?
No.
No?
No.
Podcast cannot be held responsible for sharp turns. Look, off the freeway?
You need to, users, be responsible with your volume.
I'll be honest with you. I wasn't quite sure where the voice was. And so I erred on the side of, like, you know, I'm going to need the extra gusto, and it was fine.
The thing is, we don't have five shows a week anymore.
Oh, it's more rested.
Yeah, so you store up.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're gonna
at least for today.
Going to need to dial it back just a touch,
okay.
Knowing these new powers.
You are in mid-season form. We
you're
need
right.
you in off-season form.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
We need you announcing the Chargers, Jaguars announcers?
Oh, my gosh.
Who can give two farts about the greatest comeback?
Listen, Al Michaels and Tony Dungy.
What was that?
Were this single? That was the worst I have ever experienced in my life. It was two men who were on the precipice of a recliner nap. They had
those dudes already had ice cream.
They had no comprehension of what was taking place. No volume was ever changed. It was
touchdown.
I mean, look, I am the biggest Al Michaels fan in the world.
Because he's great.
But he was having a bad day, and his pick-me-up on the other side was not Chris Collinsworth. It was Tony Dungy who was reading a bedtime story. It was the bedtime story of the Jaguars' comeback. They didn't know why the ball was closer to the goal line. When Trevor Lawrence went in on the two-point conversion, that call, if you can go back and look at it, it was like, and Lawrence scores, goes in for the two. I mean, it was one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the NFL. And
third,
they were
I believe,
asleep.
Third biggest playoff comeback.
You wouldn't have known it.
Nope.
They called it like it was the 1,000th biggest comeback in history. It was wild. But no, what a weekend of football. Welcome back into the show. Footy Awards today. The official winners will be announced. Footies will be in the mail.
I am very excited. This is the first time we've done this where I have absolutely no idea. I didn't look along the process.
Ooh, at all.
And cheat and look. I have no idea who the winners are. I'm very excited.
It's gonna be fun. I have no idea either. And we're just in a good mood.
I have some ideas. Well, I mean,
you cheated. I know what you're saying.
Someone's got to make sure that the votes are coming in and that they're voting for the correct things. Sometimes you have to sway votes. But those games, aside from the commentating that was not where it needed to be. Those games were exactly where they needed to be. They were
football
sensational. Playoff football
is the freaking
best.
It's so unbeatable. Like, I thought this whole weekend was like, how disadvantaged all the other sports are to football. Like,
yes.
In some ways, the consequence of the weekend was like hitting me hard. Like, you have this now 17-week season, tooth and nail, Minnesota, they fight, they battle, they get to whatever it was. Not 12-4. 13-4. And it's over. It's just done. It's just done in 2 seconds.
When the one score game bounces the wrong way at the wrong time,
it's unbelievable.
You leave the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. So lots to talk about today. We can get into it. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Jointhefoot.com is our fantasy football community. As Mike said, two shows a week right now. You can get an extra show at jointhefoot.com. A lot of premium perks, access to the community. It's a lot of fun during the off season, which is also dynasty season. I mean, we don't, you know, the NFL, they don't take a big break. We finish the Super Bowl, you blink, and you're in the combine and free agency, and we'll be here for you. So the quick question is just, what were your takeaways and reactions to Wild Card Weekend before we get into news, before we get into the Footy Award winners? I'm going to go game by game.
Okay.
And just throw stuff out there if there was anything that stuck out to you that would tie into fantasy. You know, the 49ers, it was a close game with Seattle for the first half of the game, and it fell apart for Seattle over the back half. 41 points for San Francisco. Brock Purdy, to me, he is the kind of most interesting storyline in that game. What is his future now with this team? How far can they go with him? They're putting up 35, 40 points a game with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, he threw three touchdown passes in his first playoff game, and he has not lost a game yet as a starter, obviously surrounded by an extremely talented defense.
He's surrounded by elite offensive weapons.
Absolutely. I mean, but this looks like the best team. Legitimately, this might be the best team in the NFL right now, and they are being led by the last pick in this year's NFL draft. That's impossible is how it feels. So it's pretty cool to see, and I just love chaos. So the Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy saga. I mean, awesome. I'm here for this. I got my popcorn out, and I can't wait to see, like, what is Trey Lance's future?
Dude, no idea. It's like, we really have seen, you've seen no Trey Lance.
It's not like Kyler when he's hurt and he comes back and you're like, oh, I've seen him for a while, yeah. So you know he's your starter.
You have no idea. You had week one against the Chicago Bears where they played in a full-on monsoon, and then he broke his ankle. Like, have not seen him play a real football game.
So here's an interesting take on that. Maybe what we've seen now with San Francisco is that you don't need to see Trey Lance to know that he'll be successful.
That's been my entire argument for fantasy.
If Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard and Brock Purdy are all successful, then I bet Trey Lance will be successful plus running. I mean, it's just...
There are a few plays that Brock Purdy makes, though, that I think, wow, that was pretty good. You know, very special. I thought you were giving me a bust
there. No, no.
Yeah. You know, sure, that's fine. You know, it's like, I don't know, I'm not saying, Tom Brady replacing Drew Bledsoe, but this is a situation where if he goes and wins a Super Bowl,
he's the starter.
Yeah.
No question.
But then you, like, how do you not trade?
You would.
Trey Lance.
You would. You'd have
to. And you're going to get you're going to lose a lot on your investment.
He'd be the backup.
Oh, man.
They've shown a willingness to do that with Jimmy G, and it paid off. They get hurt all the time. They need 6-7 quarterbacks. Sure. The other storyline I would just mention is, I think throughout the season we saw the kind of invincibility factor of DK Metcalf. It was San Francisco. He went 10 for 136 and 2. He was great all season long. He's bigger, faster, stronger than everybody. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith says he wants to retire a Seahawk.
Yeah, I think Geno will get a deal.
The Chargers game.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
It was 27-0.
Wow.
And it was bad. I mean, there was 4 interceptions in the first half by Trevor Lawrence. It made me, in that moment, extremely regret my comments about, like, I think in the office or maybe on the show, I was like, Trevor Lawrence is probably
It did play in my head.
It was like, I'm like, this is probably quarterback 5-6 in the league of who you would want on your team right now at this stage of their career.
Yeah.
And then he looked awful, and there was, you know, there was a couple bad, you know, one of them was a PI for sure, but the other three were a problem. Huge comeback, impressive performance slash collapse.
Yes, like Lawrence in the second half was unstoppable. Justin Herbert in the second half was putrid. Like the fact that Keenan Allen, one of the best possession wide receivers in the NFL, one of the best route runners in the NFL, got 13 targets, and he caught six of them, is egregious.
Like Mike Williams that is didn't so, catch any, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. There's the Mike Williams debacle of should they have played him. But I'm saying in this game, and we may have had a vested interest in Keenan Allen getting one more reception, and the fact that he had 13 targets, and I'm messaging you guys, because the whole second half of the what are these targets to Keenan Allen? These are all garbage. These were not Keenan Allen dropping passes. It was an impossible catch. It was, what is happening to Justin Herbert here?
Well, they fired Joe Lombardi.
Yes, yeah. That is such great news for Brandon Staley keeping his job, which is great news for Sean Payton not going to the Chargers.
Okay.
But this is also
all selfish.
Now to be less selfish, Lombardi runs a terrible offense. I think Herbert is a great quarterback. I think the offensive system that they have run has been really, really bad. I am excited to see any offensive coordinator would want this job. If Herbert is your quarterback, you probably, if you're a good offensive coordinator, you're 2 years away from being a head coach.
31st in average depth of target this year with Joe Lombardi. But it doesn't help Keenan Allen if there's no Mike Williams. And you had, DeAndre Carter got hurt in the first half. You have Austin Ekeler off the field too much, which is another product of offensive system issues. In my opinion, he was off the field too much. It's the playoffs. Like, now is the time to play your best player who makes a difference. You know, Jacksonville is a wild team. They remind me a little bit of the barely made the playoffs Cardinals when, obviously, he's not Kurt Warner. I'm not saying that. But the Cardinals were not, it wasn't a great record when they made their Super Bowl run. But they had this defense that had some athletes. It wasn't a great defense, but they made plays.
Right.
And Jacksonville has those players, Josh Allen and Walker. And then you have an offense that has these weapons that if they turn it on, they look unstoppable sometimes. Like the whole second half, they basically had to score every drive, you know, and they pretty much did. And look, Evan
Schmevin
Ingram is his name.
Oh, there it is.
Best draft day value at the tight end position of all draft picks at, you know.
Sure.
Impressive.
Evan Ingram has really been good. I mean, the rookie year Evan Ingram, if you don't remember, if you weren't playing fantasy at that point, he pretty much has the best rookie tight end season for fantasy football of all time. I think maybe Shockey was better.
It's way up there.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. He was drafted as an elite athletic prospect, and then he was disappointed for several years. And now that he's got a system that uses the tight end, a quarterback that is competent, all he needs now is just a contract since he was on a one-year deal, and he'll be an important fantasy asset next year.
The Bills defeated the Dolphins 34-31. This game was...
A few.
This game...
Brackets almost annihilated.
That was wild. I mean, you could throw that one and the Ravens-Bengals into the mix together where, you know... Defense made some plays for Miami, obviously. Skylar Thompson, I think, he completed about 30-something percent of his passes.
He was not as good as Brock Purdy.
They had 31 points despite 231 total yards. So they made defensive plays. The Bills almost imploded. Josh Allen committed turnovers, which was something that was an issue all year long. I mean, he was near the top of the league in interceptions. But, the Bills and Bengals survive.
Yeah, and it came down to, if you happen to miss the game, just absolute ineptitude of play calling there. Like we've praised the Dolphins coaching staff for when they've gotten it right. The end of the game, it was 4th and 1. They're driving down. They're down 3 points. So they just all they need is a field goal to tie to send us overtime, or they can even score. It gets to 4th and 1. The clock is ticking down. The play clock. something happens. I don't remember exactly what was in the play. They reset the game clock.
I saw it, yeah.
They reset it.
So he had 22 more seconds or whatever.
And they still got a delay of game on a fourth and one.
It was not a Cliff Kingsbury type of thing.
Very much. Like, I'm not – I have no horse in the race, so to speak. Like, I'm not a Dolphins fan. The Bills are fun to watch. But it was like, okay, the upset is really fun right now. I got so mad on my couch for Dolphins fans of, it's fourth and one. Make your decision and go do it. What are you – you don't need 50 seconds to get the play call in. Go do it.
Yep. Was that the drive where on third down they threw it instead of ran it as well?
I can't recall.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mess. They had lots of near delay of games in that one. The Bengals survive after stopping a goal line. I mean, I've watched that play over and over again. If you haven't seen it, Tyler Huntley decides to try to go Trevor Lawrence, try to jump over the top of the pile. Doesn't really get that close.
Does Trevor Lawrence have the longest arms in the entire world?
That was pretty cool.
Like, that was Stretch Armstrong, go-go gadget. That thing was halfway into the end zone.
Yeah, it was, you wouldn't have known it was a good play if you asked Al Michaels, but it was pretty cool.
And they scored.
And then, Sam Hubbard ran it back 98 yards.
Yeah, the play was unbelievable. At that point, it was, 17-17. Baltimore is on the goal line, about to take the lead. The Bengals finished the game with 24 points. They didn't score on offense again. So if that one-yard play, just if they ended in a field goal or punching the...
They did score after that because it was 17-17 in the Bengals. Oh, you're right, because that play scored.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was one of those, that game should have been the Ravens to have. And if you listen to J.K. Dobbins...
Oh, man.
Dude is pissed. Yeah. He's so angry. He was so upset. He didn't mince his words or hide them. He's like, I'm sick of not being the guy. I want the ball. Why didn't you get me the ball? I would have scored another touchdown. Like, he scored the first one on an unbelievably incredible, athletic.
It was a reception, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are they throwing near the goal line so much? You got the Gus Bus, you got J.K. Dobbins, and this is your identity. It was so bizarre.
That would have, Bengals lose there. That blows up
a bracket
as well. So they survived. The biggest, upset was the Giants over the Vikings, where, they kind of controlled the game. They played well. Daniel Jones
Saquon, played so good.
Saquon Barkley. It was
24 for 35, 300 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. No interceptions. Daniel Jones was so good.
Brian Daboll, man. I mean,
seriously.
I've been as skeptical as I could be the whole year. Just like, how is this keep happening? And it just, I mean, they are so well prepared, and I'm a full believer because they have so little talent. They shouldn't be in the second round of the playoffs, and they are, and they deserve to be. It's not lucky fluke plays. It's their coming out and just playing as a team, outrageously good, and for the talent. I mean, Isaiah Hodges is like your main. See? This is my point. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better. No, I apologize to the man, but my point is like, Kenny Golladay and Sterling Shepard and whatever weapons you thought you had, they're gone. And
did start the year with Kadarius Toney as well. So you had to make the courageous decision to bench the money in Golladay, to trade Toney, the talent.
The future.
Yeah, and then just go at it with Richie James and company and get it done. So you're right. I mean, the difference, hope for all the teams that struggled this past year that are looking for a coach, can be found in what Brian Daboll was able to do in New York, because they're house money at this point, right? His first year there, it's just gravy. Like, they got there, it's a successful season, and a lot of credit is due. The Vikings, Kirk collapsed. They couldn't get it done. And their defense is bad.
Their defense is
just awful.
I don't think this is an offensive problem. Obviously there's a lot made of that last play where, they throw it short of the sticks, whatever. They give up 31 points to Isaiah Hodgins and Darius Slayton. And
none of the Giants' names.
The Vikings defense has been one that we've targeted for fantasy the last 2 months. They're putrid. They're just awful.
And in the Monday night game, Cowboys 31, Buccaneers 14, it was a romp. Cowboys' only mistake was not being able to make an extra point.
That was awesome.
Dude, that was...
It's impossible.
I've never seen a kicker meltdown
when I
like that.
Yeah, I was doing some stuff with the family. I didn't watch the first half of the game, but I was following it on my phone, and I see these scores pile up, and I'm like, okay, 12 nothing. Well, that's they obviously missed one extra point, and then they missed a two-point conversion. So I look, and it's like, missed extra point. All right.
Yeah.
Then I see 18 nothing. I'm like, oh, they went for the two there. They tried to get two back.
Well, they just got two field goals.
They just missed the extra point again. But
and then they did it one more time for fun.
This game wasn't close. This was the culmination of a Buccaneers season that looked exactly like this game in every way, shape, and form. They kind of trying to think of the best way to describe their season, but asleep is a little bit a part of it. Just like not a lot of positive energy, momentum. Couldn't put four quarters together over the course of the year. And, you know, you had the scary play with Russell Gage at the end of the end of the game. Cowboys dominated, what, five touchdowns for Dak? Between
four. He had four passing.
And one rushing.
Yep.
So I don't know if there were any big takeaways here other than, you know, what the future is for Tom Brady, and then the byproduct of that is Godwin and Evans and what their passing game looks like if he were to depart.
Yeah, that's a big question, and the Tony Pollard question. I mean, that guy is outrageously good. I mean, there was a play one singular play where I believe he broke five tackles, and it looked like there would be nothing there, and it turned into a 10-plus yard play. He is so much better than Ezekiel Elliott at this point. Zeke can still play. Like, he still has his purpose in an offense. But what do the Cowboys do when you have all of that money in Zeke? How do you possibly pay enough to Tony Pollard to retain him when he's going to be looking for the bag?
If Zeke didn't have the contract he had, I would almost guarantee the Cowboys would be bringing Pollard back.
Sure.
Spare no expense. But it is complicated now with the Zeke situation, and you wonder what options they have.
Which this is exactly why you don't give running backs that type of a contract, because
it never works out.
A few years into it, they start breaking down, and then the person, the player behind them, they look so much better.
Kansas City will host Jacksonville. Philadelphia will host New York. That's a fun one. Buffalo will host Cincinnati. San Francisco will host Dallas. So looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. Let's take a quick break and come back with some news.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year, or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. I failed to mention that the DFS pass is still free throughout the whole playoff. So if you want to play, I played some, I played quite a bit of Showdown this past weekend.
How'd you do?
Very well.
Nice.
Very well. I don't know what it is about that format, but
it's just the one you're good at.
I know. It's just, that's the only one that I can play worth a darn. Which, double digit losses on.
I say, which is why the committee has been so, so stout in our, opposition of moving to that format.
I was going to say, can we change Friday format?
Oh, heavens no.
I vote nay.
Yeah, nay.
All right.
Nay.
All right, into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
All right. Tua Tagovailoa expected to return as the Dolphins starting quarterback for the 2023 season. Struggled with the concussions this year. The team was not the same without him.
Yeah.
You hope that he can stay healthy, but that's going to be a back of your mind situation moving forward. And the team will have to, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, I believe, is a free agent. Skylar Thompson's probably not the answer at the backup. So I would consider them like contenders for a Dalton level backup.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, a Bridgewater level backup.
Yeah.
If he leaves, they'll need someone else. I wouldn't be surprised if they re-sign Bridgewater, but with an entire offseason for Tua, he should be good to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Teddy Bridgewater, that's a pretty good place to be, like a really strong team and a quarterback whose future is very uncertain.
It's just crazy because I think every time Bridgewater had the opportunity this year, he also got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew Stafford expected to have his 2023 option and 2024 salary picked
up. Okay.
Sean McVay is coming back. So McVay and Stafford reunited for another year. I don't know if you saw the Aaron Donald.
Yes, I did.
He briefly had his Twitter profile changed to former defensive lineman.
Oh, my.
But then he changed it real quick.
He changed it once the Sean McVay news came out that he's coming back. He's like, oh, okay, all right, I'm still a Ram.
Chargers fired Joe Lombardi. Like I said, they'll have a new offensive coordinator. Brandon Cooks does not want to be part of the rebuilding process in Houston. He is a candidate to be moved and then would be an interesting player to look at in the he just always produces. And even after he came back from, you know, his absence at the end of the year, he kind of produced. And then Cliff Kingsbury took a one-way trip to Thailand. And that's not a joke.
That sounds like a joke, but it's so true.
Cardinals season comes to an end. If I told you their GM would step down and their head coach would take a one-way trip to Thailand,
I would say sounds about Cardinals.
So they're moving on.
I think Cliff's having the last laugh here.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, like, just loaded, and you're like, eh, I'm done. I'm going to Thailand. I'm going to be on the beach.
You guys want to buy his house out here, the one that became famous?
Yeah. NFL head coaching contracts usually have offset language to where when they're fired, even though their contract is fully guaranteed, the ownership group is recouped from whatever their new job is. So they go and they go to college and they get a big contract. They don't get both of those contracts usually. The new contract overtakes the old one, you know, and they pay.
Or there's offsets of some amount.
Yes, they pay the difference over the top. This is like Cliff going,
you're paying.
Hey, Bidwell. He's apparently not taking any calls for coaching opportunities. He only wants all that money coming from the Cardinals.
Say, calls for Mai Tais.
Yeah, one way.
That's it.
One way trip where all the coaches go to take a break. Any other news, Brooksy? How's Deucer's Alley?
Keep on deucing.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on and get into these very illustrious, incredible, respected awards.
Ooh, we got lights this year.
Oh, welcome into the footies. We do have lights. My goodness, it's a festive atmosphere.
Well, it's the most sought-after award in the universe.
It's been quite the year, Mike. We have to dole out the hardware.
The worst part of the footies is we're ineligible.
We would win them.
Yeah. Well, we would definitely would.
Performance of the year, that has us written all over it.
And it would be the honor of all honors. But it's our award, so we can't.
Yeah, that's the trouble with making awards. all right, the performance of the year. And everybody, thank you for voting over the last week. The performance of the year was won by Ja'Marr Chase last season with his 50-point playoff performance.
Which was fair.
Yeah, championship week, 50 points, you get the footy.
This week's or this year's candidates, Tua from week two, Justin Fields, 42 fantasy points in week nine, Joe Mixon had 53 in week nine, Josh Jacobs, 45 in week 12, Mike Evans, 43 in week 17, Stephon Diggs, 38 points in week two, and Hockenson with almost 36 points in week four.
Who also... I mean that.
Oh, just, he's really good.
Just a quick side note from back from the game. I mean, we've kind of been talking about T.J. Hockenson next year on and off of where do you go with him in the draft? And there's a chance that T.J. Hockenson is the tight end too.
Yeah. Definitely. All right, the winner of the performance of the year goes to. Wow.
No.
Joe Mixon.
Oh, baby.
No.
Winner. Week not 41% of the vote. The five touchdown performance.
Your favorite player got snubbed, Jay.
I know. My Mike.
And this was not very close. The runner up was Mike Evans with 26%.
So wow.
41% to Joe Mixon. Mike Evans, 26%.
People big mad at Mike Evans.
hey, Joe. Your footy is in the mail.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Mike Evans, championship winner, single-handedly. Like, no.
Not for a lot of people, man. Not enough people played him. All right, Jason, you got the next.
No,
Mike has the next
one. It is me. It is the Fantasy Reapers Man of the Year. Which player's painful injury hurt fantasy managers the most? Which last year, of course, unfortunately. Yeah, like, I mean, this is, you don't really want to win this one. Let's be fair about it.
No, you don't want to be the Fantasy Reapers Man of the Year.
But Christian McCaffrey got it last year, but had the big bounce back. So, not saying, just saying. This year's nominees, Javonte Williams, Keenan Allen, Darren Waller, Breece Hall, Cooper Kupp, and Jonathan Taylor. Hit the drums. Of course. Cooper Kupp at 33%. Johnny Taylor at 29%. The overall number one pick still was not as painful as what Cooper Kupp's injury brought.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was on another level still.
Yeah, he was the wide receiver one going away, and then you lost that. Whenever
you would
have
wondered what would happen if he was healthy and you still lost Stafford towards the end of the year for fantasy championships. That would have been interesting.
That would have been interesting. All right, next up, let's talk some poop. The Poopiest Pants Award last year.
To be fair, you probably don't want to win this award either.
No, these
are. You should always be in charge of this one.
These are, yeah, this is kind of my deal. Last year. Yeah, so it's just, it's so much fun. You got to try it, Mike. Allen Robinson won it last year. He is up again this year, but here are the contestants. You have Justin Herbert with his third round ADP. Yeah. Russell Wilson, complete collapse, seventh round pick. Jonathan Taylor, the 101 who stunk it up and got injured. Alvin Kamara, a first-round bust. Debo Samuel, a second-round bust.
Just a weird year for Debo.
DJ Moore, who won a lot of people's championships but was bad throughout the season. Allen Robinson, fifth-round bust. And, of course, Kyle Pitts.
Come on, back
was
to back.
Pitts no. to draft. Let's have them drum.
Come on, back to back.
It can't be, please.
We have a new Poopiest Pants Award, and it goes to, and I think correctly so, Kyle Pitts with 33% of the vote. The runner-up was Russell Wilson.
Oh man. So he went. So Robinson wasn't close.
Yeah. But I
thank
get
goodness
it.
For that.
The truth is, in the third round, Kyle Pitts at a onesie position.
Yeah. Way more valuable.
Just he roasted people. If you drafted Kyle Pitts, it was you just had a bad season because you couldn't get out of them.
Yes,
you don't want to wear the pants when there's poop in it.
No, but
you want to get out of them.
Yeah, if you draft those pants,
but those things are
high
tight
enough. You just end up wearing them.
Those were like skin tight pleather.
But also,
you can't get out.
Kyle, good news. Your footy is in the mail.
All right, the waiver wire wonder, which undrafted waiver wire stud was the best signing of the 2022 season. Last year it was Cordarrelle Patterson. This year's nominees, Jerick McKinnon, Zay Jones, Christian Watson, Justin Fields, and Geno Smith. The footy goes to Justin Fields, 44%. The runner-up was Jerick McKinnon at 23%, who, credit to Jerick McKinnon for emerging as a nominee in this category, but
certainly.
But Justin Fields. I mean, your Trey Lance stuff didn't go well this year, Mike.
And, no, it did not.
And
it broke.
Bumpier road, not like off a cliff, but bumpy road for, you know, like Sutton and Pittman.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ingram and Fields reemergence.
Redemption, baby.
It has to feel good.
It feels very good because
you were going to stand them for life regardless of what they did. So this is very,
very important.
Helpful.
Myself and the Borgogan, I mean, we were on Fields Island and there was no one there. You know, when it's like the comic book island.
I was there during the draft, but then I got on a boat quick.
Like it felt really, really, really bad. But then he bounced back. He was certainly the sexiest pick because he came in and was a weak winner. But I want to shout out Geno Smith, the QB5. Geno Smith from undrafted of, we all, guilty as charged. And I think the public.
I was going to say everybody on earth, the
public said there's no way that this could possibly happen. And Geno Smith was fantastic.
He didn't write back, Mike. He didn't write back.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah.
All right, moving on.
All right, we got the fantasy quarterback of the year.
Thanks for introducing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. You want to read the nominees for me?
No.
So factoring draft position, big game performances, and impacts to fantasy teams everywhere. Who gets the footy this year's nominees? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Stallion, Joseph Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Fields snuck into the quarterback of the year conversations. My man Geno Smith, he couldn't get there despite being the quarterback 5. What's that all about? Who knows? Who's picking these nominees? But the winner is, hit the drums, of course, Jalen Hurts with 59% of the vote. The runner-up, Patrick Mahomes at 16%. I mean, Mahomes was fantastic, but for where you drafted Jalen Hurts and what you got...
Delightful.
It hurts so great.
Yeah. And as someone who had a lot of Jalen Hurts, it was a great experience. Obviously, the last 2 weeks were bad. But, you know, this is one of those things where we saw this last year. Derrick Henry goes down to injury, but he was so good that he got you into the playoffs and you could win titles. And Jalen Hurts did the same thing for a lot of people. A lot of people won championships even without Jalen Hurts because they got there.
The fantasy running back of the year.
Thank you, Mike. Last year's winner was Jonathan Taylor. This year we have Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey,
he's back,
Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, and Tony Pollard. The winner.
Before you say it, if it's not Josh Jacobs, I'm going to be very upset.
Austin Eckler is the runner-up for back-to-back seasons. The winner is Josh Jacobs with 43% of the vote.
Okay. All right. Austin Eckler always hanging out. Runner up 2 years in a row.
I had a dream last night that Mike and I were co-drafting a team and we're in the 6th round and there's Austin Eckler on the board. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to take
the
him.
Pick? He was the pick.
Yeah. I convinced Mike.
to talk to me. Yeah. To get me on board.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams was not a nominee, but could have been.
Yeah.
When you look at the best value compared to draft position at running back, Jamal Williams was right at the tippy top. Jalen Hurts was number one in the quarterback position.
Jamal Williams, Detroit RB1.
Indeed. Is it my turn? Am I allowed to? Okay. The fantasy wide receiver of the year, and again, we factor in draft position, big game performances, all of those factors for the footy, and of course, you are very studious in your voting. Last year, Cooper Kupp took it home. This year, the nominees, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs. This is really, I barely need the drum roll here. Justin Jefferson
okay.
by a billion.
All right.
By a billion. That was
a billion
one of the,
percent.
A billion percent. No, 51%. Tyreek Hill was 16%. So that shows you the gap because everybody voted for, you know, it was a mix of Hill and probably some Stephon Diggs in there. But Justin Jefferson was the clear wide receiver of the year.
Stephon Diggs at the end there kind of let people down.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
It is funny to think that the quarterback of the year, the running back of the year, and the wide receiver of the year, clearly awesome picks. The championship week wasn't their favorite week.
Yeah. I just realized that, like, I traded Diggs to Mike, and I traded mm-hmm. Jefferson to Jason.
Nice.
So, like, I supplied you both with wide receivers of the year.
Thank you.
You did.
So I'm heading out.
This one is the fantasy tight end of the year. Hopefully, Foot Clan, you did the right thing. Last year's winner was Mark Andrews. This year's nominees, we have Travis Kelce, TJ Hockenson, Hockules coming through, George Kittle, my dude, Evan Engram, and then not my dude, Taysom Hill. How does Taysom Hill in this category? Get out of here. The tight end of the year goes to Travis Kelce. That's fine.
What is the percent of
68.
Vote? Okay.
That's the highest of anybody so far.
That's fine. Evan Engram at least was a runner-up.
Okay.
So we'll take solace in that.
I'm not even sure he deserves that.
How dare you?
I would have given runner-up to Hockenson.
The only
who would have thought that the path for Hockenson would have been a trade?
That's the issue with Hockenson. Like I had Hockenson in our league of record. I traded him away because
you were like, I'm out.
He was terrible. So if you drafted him, you might not have hung on to him because he was so bad. Other than like one big week, he, you know, and then he gets traded and becomes awesome.
Becomes everything that we hoped Irv Smith would be.
That is true. Yes, exactly.
The process was correct.
All right. The breakout player of the year. Who was fantasy football's biggest breakout? The options. Justin Fields.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence. Tony Pollard. Ramondre Stevenson. Devonta Smith. And Kenneth Walker.
Who did you guys vote for? I voted for Pollard.
I voted for Fields, I believe. But
I voted for Smith.
Yeah, I think Devonta Smith does not get enough credit for what a great season he had. Let's find out. The winner is Justin Fields with 36%. Runner-up, Kenneth Walker. And in third place, Tony Pollard right next to
Kenneth
Walker.
That was a really, really close one. In terms of, like, we all voted for different players, mm-hmm. and they also weren't the pick. So, oh, you voted for Fields, you said.
But. Yes, but, I mean, Justin Fields, you're going to need to clear some mantle space because your footies are in the mail.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how he'll perform on his new team.
Oh, man.
Could be.
All right, the rookie of the year. Last year, Ja'Marr Chase took it home. This year's nominees, Breece Hall.
That's my vote.
Damian Pierce, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Kenneth Walker. The winner goes, the winner is. It's Kenneth Walker at 48%. Garrett Wilson, the runner-up.
What was his percentage? I'm curious.
23.
Wow.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson's ride was it was a tough one to predict at times.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks all over the place. It was fun when he did start and have a good game, but it wasn't as consistent as Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, he just had, like, from weeks 3 through 7, it was purely unusable.
Oof. All right, Mike.
All right, where? Oh, comeback player of the year. Oh, my guy's got a chance. Comeback player of the year, which fantasy player amazed you the most in their return to relevance? James Conner took it home last year, of course. This year's nominees are Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Jared Goff, and my dude, Evan Engram. Apparently the snub alert is Geno Smith. Can you be a comeback player if you were never there?
No. You got to come back to something that you once had. So why is Evan Engram here?
Hey, his rookie year. You just talked about it.
It was good for
that was
a rookie.
70 years ago.
Yeah. Hey.
Another generation.
But he was there. He took a vacation, and he's back now.
All right.
Hit the drums. Comeback player of the year goes to Saquon Barkley.
That makes sense.
What's the percentage?
41. Christian McCaffrey, the runner-up at 28%.
Okay.
Oh, all man. Right. Evan Engram getting no votes. Mike, I'm so sorry for your feelings.
He got one from me.
All right. All right, after the comeback player of the year, we're going with the steal of the draft. These are guys who brought you to glory from an unexpected draft position. You have Jalen Hurts in the sixth round and Joe Burrow also in the sixth round. Josh Jacobs, a fourth-round pick, but the running back, 21. Amari Cooper, sixth-round pick. Tyler Lockett, ninth-round pick. Devonta Smith in the eighth round. And Travis Kelce at the top of the second, but was the tight end one overall. Who was the steal of the draft? Josh Jacobs with his second win tonight. The runner-up was Jalen Hurts. But it was not a very close. It was not a very close
vote.
48% to 26%.
I wanted to see how many times you'd repeat it.
My bad. My bad.
Searching for the word.
Thank you, Andy.
Very close.
So to be, Justin Fields has three awards. Is that right? Or two?
I believe two.
And right? Then Josh Jacobs has two.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it on to me?
This is
the last one I have to give away. The playoff king. Which player drove fantasy managers to a championship during the playoff weeks 15 through 17? Last year, Amon-Ra St. Brown took it home. This year, we had a ton of nominees. Eckler, Algier, Akers, Lamb, Devontae Smith, DJ Moore, McKinnon, and Kittle. The playoff
DJ Moore.
King.
Playoff king slash poopy his pants.
Yeah, goes to. Yeah, it's his whole career. Jerick McKinnon in an extremely tight race. He had 33% of the vote. The second place was Austin Eckler with 31% of the vote.
Always the bridesmaid.
Austin, your runner-up trophy is not in the mail. We don't make those.
Where's the drop? Where's the king? Producer team? Man. That's Amon-Ra.
They can't win them all. All right, the big ones.
Here we go. It's time for the real magic with the nickname of the year. This is one of our better awards.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Last year, the Muth is Luth. He got so Luth, Pat Freiermuth. And the nominees this year, the Dump Truck, a.k.a. Leonard Fournette.
Hit it. Dump stack a truck, truck, truck.
A little bit of cheating there. Breece Lightning, which is a Breece Hall. Cole Kmet is on this list. Cole Kmet got there fast and took it slow. Voldemort, he shall not be named slash played, a.k.a. Deshaun Watson. The spot start, Zay Jones. Shmevin Shmangram, who may have ditched his nose and glasses and become Evan Engram. We'll see. The 12th man, Russell Wilson, still getting it done for his precious Seattle Seahawks. And then the awful tower, doing my man Paris Campbell a little bit dirty. The winner is. Do we have drums?
Yeah.
Not even close. Yeah. It is the dump truck, Leonard Fournette at 61%.
You knew that was going to win, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I thought Mike might have brought some Schmevins along with him.
No,
what was the percent?
61%. Voldemort at 49%. Schmevin down in third at 35%.
Yeah, the dump truck clearly was the best nickname this year.
Didn't do much last night.
Nickname, not player.
They went into the playoff. Lenny, he had a playoff Lenny jersey. And did you see them? They reported. There was a broadcast report that the Bucks intentionally were resting Leonard Fournette over the second half of saying, like, that's why White
for
was...
For playoff Lenny?
So that they could get playoff Lenny.
Oh, man.
Whoops.
Yeah, it was a different kind of dump last night. All right, and the illustrious, the special, the unique, the amazing.
Can only get it here.
The Fantasy Footballers Moment of the Year. Which moment was your favorite? Was it... And the nominees are Andy's voice crack.
Oh, boy.
I liked it.
Mike calling Al Yafat on the mailbag drop.
I was repeating Andy's sentiments.
The catch child. It's a catch.
It's a catch.
Zay Jones weather report. P.P. R. Bijan Robinson fake out. Manly Mac Jones reporting. The Kyle Pitts mental breakdown of Andy Holloway. My wrong player analysis talking Gibson versus McLaurin. Or sailing out to sea on a boat on fire.
Tremendous timing.
Well done. Again, he seems to hit that every year.
And the winner goes to Andy's voice crack.
Yes!
At 18%.
Oh, that was a tight vote.
Very, very close. The top three, Andy's voice crack at 18%. Kyle Pitts mental breakdown at 17%. Ooh. Andy, you're
killing those are both it, yours.
And the Bijan Robinson fake out at 14%.
3 for 3?
Came in third.
All the moments happening over here, boys.
And just so people can remember how great Andy's voice crack was,
on.
Here it is. yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the podcast. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Yes.
All my worst nightmares came true immediately. Yeah. Immediately. Mm. Oh, well, I'm glad we could remember that. I'm thrilled. Yeah, that was a special time.
Here's what's cool.
What great effort I made.
Here's what's cool about this episode. Well, I didn't know what was going to win Show of the Year, but you came into this episode where you won footy. By the way, it's in the mail.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to mail it from here to here, but needs...
We're
going to
send it around the world.
Yes. You came out strong with your intro for today.
Oh.
And then you win for having the worst performance of the year.
Yeah, that was special. That was really special. That took a while to have the courage to try, but I hope you enjoyed it.
Should have taken longer.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate all of the Foot Clan participating in the Footy Awards for yet another season. I am curious. Let's poll everybody real quick before we close it down. Let's poll Deucer Zelly. What was your vote for the moment of the year? I'm sure each of you voted.
It's Catch Child for me. I love that.
Catch Child for the Borgogan.
I thought Catch Child would win, but I actually voted for the You Fat mailbag drop. That one just...
How does that feel, Al?
It was so funny.
Accurate. I voted for the Gibson McLaurin wrong player analysis.
Okay, Mike, do you remember
I
who you voted for?
I don't even remember.
I voted for the Bijan Robinson.
I think that's what I voted for, too, so... All right, the truth episodes of the podcast, they start on Thursday this week. Looking forward to those. If you've not been a part before, we just take a deep dive into each position group and tell you the truth about these players. It's not all about their fantasy finish at the end of the year. It's about their consistency. How much did you receive from each guy? You know, when did they let you down?
How often did they cross thresholds that actually matter for you? You know, we talk about Geno Smith getting snubbed a lot on some of these awards. We'll see if that's warranted or not the next episode.
Because the stats can be spun. Like, I can tell you, Mike Evans was the number two overall wide receiver through the fantasy playoffs. And that is factually accurate.
Yeah, I'll be curious what the truth about Schmingram is. Because that may define what I call him into the future. The quarterbacks will start with them on Thursday. Chat with you then.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.